This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O God of heavenly powers, by the might of your command, you drive away from our bodies all sickness and all infirmity. Be present in your goodness with your children, the President and First Lady, and all in government who have been infected by this virus, and equally for all those who battle this virus, all those whose lives have been shortened, all those who have lost loved ones, that their weakness may be banished and their strength restored, and that their health being renewed, they may bless your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Good morning. I wanted to say that so I could hear voices in response other than my wife. Sometimes we all need a wake-up call. And sometimes that wake-up call requires us to rethink things. The word repent itself is to rethink. And the great writer John Henry Cardinal Newman so eloquently has stated that it is important for us to change. To live is to change, he says, and to change often is to become more perfect. This is perhaps what this wake-up call of this gospel and our own experience of our lives at this time is calling us to do. The origin of this parable comes from that reading we just heard from Isaiah. It also is in the Gospel of Mark, from which Matthew gets his original source, but he adds to it, because as you recall, Matthew's audience is a little different, and he addresses those people who are the ones in the parable come allegory who are going to do, or in Matthew's time have already done, what the parable talks about to God's only Son. A property owner is the way that Matthew refers to it. It is to challenge our assumptions about who is welcome, who is worthy. The changes to our welcome video this morning were intentional to get us to start thinking about the fact that there are ways in which we can be a more welcoming community. It calls each of us, not only in this church, but in our very lives, to ask the questions, where are the blind spots in my life? Where am I being warned about the choices I continue to make? The religious leaders to whom Jesus addresses this story are those that are there, and they're observing that the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the lepers are being healed. That which was dead inside of people in terms of their faith is coming to life again with this way of love message of Jesus. It is, as is said in another place, behold, I am doing something new. This is our third Sunday in a row where we have a story that has something to do with vineyards. And we had the story that made it clear that whether we start to work at 8 in the morning or 5 in the afternoon, God is going to take care of each one of us. we continue to hear this message that all are worthy of God's love. Matthew rearranges the story's events a bit to represent the passion, that Jesus too is going to be led outside the city where he'll be crucified. And so, as his story says, the son is taken outside the vineyard where he's put to death. What is important for us too to recognize in this is not only to get the wake-up call, but that God does not punish us for our bad decisions. God doesn't work that way. But we do bring upon ourselves an increase in the risk of calamity to our physical and our spiritual lives by the choices we make. The Pharisees have set up these boundaries, and they're false boundaries. As we look at where the blind spots are, perhaps an alternative question is, who's establishing the boundaries for my way of living, for my way of believing, for my ways of loving? We have the commandments, we have the great commandment, and the more we ignore them, the more we increase the risk of calamity wreaked upon our lives and those of others. The practicality of this for us? Be willing to change, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as we heard last week. But hear the message in this story, in the practical areas of our life today. Our tendency is, if we like the way our life is, to surround ourselves with the people, the messages, the evidence that supports that which we want to believe. And we need to ask ourselves, have we created a blind spot that is ignoring the boundaries that Jesus gives us? We can close our minds and our hearts off to a certain person or a certain race or a certain identity, and we increase our chances of living in a dark and lonely place, where in the end, we will be the ones thrown out of the vineyard. Yes, systemic racism exists. Prejudice exists. I'll admit, I have been ignorant. I did not even know what Juneteenth was until this past year. I need to learn. We all need to learn. White supremacy is wrong, and it is contrary to Jesus' way of love. It's a basic requirement of our baptismal covenant. Respect the dignity of every human being. Period. Our tendency can continue to be that if we like our life the way it is, to close our minds to anything else because it's comfortable for us. And in this world of pandemic, we all know that we have been called to move out of our comfort zones. Well, maybe this is God's way of helping us to see there are other comfort zones that we need to let go of. We know this simply in our own lives. A doctor tells us, lose some weight and start exercising, or you're asking for a heart attack. Stop smoking, or you are increasing your chance of cancer. Stop texting while driving, or you're increasing your chance of hurting yourself or others. Wear a seatbelt, or you are increasing your chance of serious injury in an accident. And if we can go back to the earliest one we probably all learned from our moms and our dads, keep your hand away from the fire or you're going to burn yourself. These are simple, simple examples, but they are practical things that we deal with in our lives. The truth of science and the growing body of experiential knowledge, we have to do what we can to resist the risk for ourselves and others of spreading this virus. Perhaps this week is a wake-up call for all of us in so many different ways. We should be used to wake-up calls. The author of that second reading from Philippians, he had an incredible one, probably the most famous wake-up call that ever existed in the world of Christianity. That Paul suddenly realized that the boundaries he had for the way we should be living were so limited and wrong. And what does he write? Whatever gains I had, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, he says. And if you want to look at the literal translation in some places, I consider them all doggy doo-doo. Are those the boundaries we have established? Is that the way we look at our world? Where are our blind sides? Where is God calling us to repent, to rethink? There's nothing wrong with that. We've had stories of vineyards in our country these days. And I want to end with one that is on a very positive note for us. We too experience rejection, just like those people did in the story today. But when we are rejected, take heart. Not only does God know rejection, that experience we all dread, God can use rejection to remake us, to remake the world. The stone which the builders rejected became the cornerstone. It is a reject that holds us together. In our experience of rejection in our own lives, we know God, because that's what God experiences. And God knows us. It becomes a time for us as we reflect upon our lives today and with this parable and Paul and Isaiah's readings as well, that there is hope for us. We've had stories of vineyards, wildfires out of control, homes, lives, wine vineyards destroyed. Let's not miss the heroes emerging at a time like this. I want to show you a short video clip that illustrates one of those heroes.
Hundreds of homes have burned, and so is this Christian elementary school in St. Helena, where Mangina Velasquez works.
Oh, how sad. This is the preschool playground where the kids were running and playing. It's all gone. It's burned.
World-renowned restaurants and wineries have also been destroyed or damaged.
Trying to rinse off any dirt or ash that's on the grapes.
Todd Heth is the winemaker at Fairwinds Estate, which now looks like this.
We're disappointed and gutted and You know, it's a tragedy.
But during the harvest, there's no time to reflect on the disaster. A fellow winemaker offered up his facilities so Heth can crush and salvage what he can of his crop.
This has really burned right across the valley, so it's really kind of a scar on the valley, but I know that we'll come out of it. I know that things will bloom again.
This morning, hope for renewal in a beloved part of California still under siege.
A fellow winemaker offered up his facilities. We have a vineyard owner who gives his own life for us. May we continue to look for the ways where perhaps we have established blind spots and start to look beyond. And may the cornerstone of our lives, that which does not change, be nothing but the way of love of Jesus. Amen.